podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny.
I had a listener of this podcast approach me at the Gladdy before you were there. And
what'd they say?
They tricked me.
Oh,
this fucking guy.
This fucking
I should have got his name.
This fucking loser.
He goes, oh, you're Tom. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, oh, no, you're from TikTok. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, thanks. And he goes, just kidding.
Oh.
I listened to your podcast.
That's brutal. I like him.
Yeah, I knew you'd like him.
He's what a funny guy.
But I'm like,
did he know that would like make you feel good and then take it away?
Exactly. But then in my mind, I'm like, well, it makes me feel good you listen to the podcast. So it's like,
yeah, it
you're acting like you've got me, but it's like, that's just a, if not, I'd prefer if I could choose which
you
one you'd be
from
into.
The podcast?
I mean, I think so.
Well,
it's a bit more of a long form thing. Yeah, it's more an approximation of who you really are as a human being.
Totally.
It's what we all want to be appreciated for.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, true.
Other than a 40-second little TikTok.
But TikTok, those numbers, you're like, is it real? Half the time, you're like, are they real people? What's
totally.
Going on?
You're like, I'd love
the
to just meet a few people out there.
Yeah. So you want some data to be like, really? So it's not just my phone telling me a number.
The second person ever mentioned it, I said, really? And they went, no. I've just heard you talk about it on your podcast and knew this would be a good way to fuck with you, you idiot. Oh, thanks. Cool. Nice to meet you, mate.
Guy. Let's get him on. I want to chat to him. Oh, did you see the cricket was on today?
Yes.
This is the best thing.
Ashes.
The Ashes. That this guy did a Welcome to Country. And we've spoken about doing like comedy in very public places.
Yes.
As like, you know, what would happen if you did it? The guy doing the Welcome to Country starts doing gags, killing so hard. I'm going
to during the Welcome to Country.
During the Welcome to Country. I'm going to play you something. For my first song. Big laugh.
He fakes as if he's going to sing.
Yeah.
He's doing visual gags.
Dude, people are loving this. Nathan Lyons, he's getting a round of applause. This is and always will be Aboriginal land. Only three things shorter than that. Coming, taxation and going. That'd be bombed. There's an old Aboriginal saying out there, and I think it's very appropriate for you mob here today. They say where there's a will, there's relatives. Just gags. Dude, killing at the SCG. I couldn't dream of getting that.
I feel like a Welcome to Country is a like it's a great opportunity because people know that they have to listen up. So you've got people's attention and there's kind of a bit of tension because people feel, I think it evokes guilt for like white Australians.
Yeah.
And a sense of like, I need to show respect here. And it's a bit, I mean, traditionally, it's a bit of a solemn vibe.
Yeah.
So then if you cut that tension with a joke, it's actually just...
Did I ever tell you, once I was doing this gig and a guy was there doing a Welcome to Country and I was chatting to him before and he was, like, bragging to me. He killed as well. He went up, had some big gags. It was, like, a corporate gig at a Mercedes car dealership.
Right.
And he went up and says, I think his joke was, he goes, oh, if you give me a Mercedes, I'll forget about my land and we'll call it square.
Yeah,
just
that's
like
good.
Destroys the place.
And then the joke there is like, you wish. Like, absolutely not. Like, no way. Not even in hell. Even though a lot of platitudes are being said about this being original land. You know, a bit of financial kind of backing behind that.
But he was bragging before about doing a gig at Giant Dwarf like 2 weeks before. And Tom Ballard, he was like, Tom Ballard couldn't follow me. Like, he was...
He's deliberately...
He was genuinely... Because he'd been in the game. He'd been like, I've been doing this for like the last 5 years or whatever.
Totally.
Like, I guess as a corporate welcome to country, acknowledgement to country kind of a speaker.
Yes.
And he was just had a bit of an act.
Yes.
And he was like, Ballard, honestly, didn't get the last.
I mean, it's like anything. You start with 1 minute. Because sometimes a welcome to country, it'll be like 30 seconds, 1 minute. But then at bigger events, I've seen a few, more recently, where it'll be like 5 to 10. And
five
there
to
will
ten.
Be, yeah, like sometimes there'll be a dance or something.
Yeah,
like it's a bit of a show as well. But then, I mean, I've seen a few only more recently where there's jokes involved. And it does feel like, you do well after 1 minute, do well after 2 minutes. Well,
you build an act.
Exactly. You start getting paid more, you start getting better gigs. I also think it's nice because this is like Aboriginal people doing it.
Totally.
And like, I think, I mean, I don't want to speak on behalf of like, white people generally, but I think the types of events where I first started seeing Welcome to Country is happening, it does seem like solemn. And I mentioned like the guilt that white people have before. I feel like it's almost like self-flagellation. Like that's why white people enjoy it. It's like,
yes,
this is the time where we go, oh, like we should feel bad and make sure you feel bad. But like there's an Aboriginal person there doing it. Like,
yeah.
They want some fucking laughs.
Of course. I mean? They're just a person standing in front of a crowd. They want something back.
Totally.
To be a performer is to want something back from the crowd.
Exactly.
They don't, I mean, it must be, and also once you've been in the game, and I assume this guy killing at the SCG.
He must be the top.
He must have done so much. Like, because after a while you'd be like, it's not that fun just to see just like harrowing looks on everyone's faces.
Unless that's kind of another, I would imagine it could be fun to twist that as well.
Yeah.
Like to come on, because that's originally what I thought you meant about like Ballard can't follow me. It'd be fun to be, because comedians, you're trying to get laughs, but if you just like squeeze the guilt and the solemnity button and make it as difficult for these acts following me as possible, often white acts, that wouldn't be too bad either.
That would be so good to be like, and
I'm gonna get
also like to acknowledge that Indigenous people are the only true comedians. And any person not Aboriginal doing comedy on the land is as bad as anyone else.
Storytelling is a big part of our history, specifically our history. So any stories, funny stories where someone falls over, and gets dacked,
we
humiliates themselves.
White comedians performing and the audience that chooses to laugh at them.
We actually like them performing to silence. Only to silence. So if I see any of you, I'm going to be back there. I'm going to be peering through the curtains watching. If I see so much as a smile, I'm coming out there. I'm writing down your name. I'm sending it off to the database. I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen in that database.
But you'll be on the database.
But it's not good.
But think about, there's like 30,000 people at the SCG.
Mm.
They hand you the mic.
Mm.
I've had a nightmare about what I would do in that situation. I've done some big outdoor gigs. I did Falls Festival once, 5,000 people. Very difficult.
Good Lord.
Didn't go that well.
Yeah.
But the SCG in a round. And he's getting big laughs. Big laughs. Round of applauses.
He's actually the best comedian in Australia.
Dude, he is.
Opening too, by definition. The Welcome to Country
Absolutely
people,
opening.
They never know what it's like to close. Come on to a hot crowd.
Are you saying they couldn't close?
I'm saying they haven't been given the opportunity. Because they're always opening the show. There should be a goodbye to country.
Now we're talking.
You know, thanks for having us, country.
Oh, that would be good.
And then they can really feel what a hot crowd feels like.
And imagine the laughs. Also, they could do, they could wrap the show together, have some comments on like what they saw.
Sorry. I thought you meant like wrap the show together, kind of like pull thing. But you mean kind of reflect on the show.
Yeah. Kind of be like, remember when you said
read from the database.
Yeah, these are the people that are officially racist.
Exactly. But no, now you're allowed to laugh again. So now after a silent shot, like they're killing again.
That would be awesome. He opens in front of Ballard. Ballard bombs.
Yeah.
Just to silence.
And comes on, admonishes the three people who smiled nonetheless, and then does another 10 killing. This is how we get more representation in the arts.
Absolutely.
You just put like mandatory opening and closing spots. And then, because, you know, some people will still have racist jokes and stuff. Every now and then you'll see that. Less likely to happen, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
If the person opening and closing the show is watching. An Aboriginal guy fucking looking you in the eye as you walk out there. I mean, I think we've solved it. I wanted to tell the story.
Oh, yeah.
Of, well, I went to a gay bar a week ago with a few mates.
Yeah.
Got hit on slightly.
Oh, nice.
Not even really, but a little bit. Someone rubbed my hair.
That's not hitting.
For a bit. It's a bit of a hitting on. Like while standing talking to me.
Oh.
Caressing my hair.
Like looking at you face on.
Yeah.
I mean, those, not to go back to the grunt guys, but they've like rubbed my hair before.
Interesting.
But maybe that was a bullying tactic.
Yeah. Okay.
They've been like, don't tell the story again. And like,
are we describing a noogie?
No, not a noogie.
That's funny to describe a noogie as like, yeah, he was caressing my...
It wasn't sensual. It was like a rough up.
Mm-hmm.
What, yours wasn't a rough up?
This was sensual.
What did you do?
I checked my phone.
Oh.
And you didn't really know what to do, but it feels good. If you go to a gay bar...
You got your phone out and Googled what to do when a man rubs your hair.
But it felt nice, and I feel like it's the only time when men kind of get a bit of a sense of what it's like to be hit on by men, obviously. But like to be a woman, if you're a heterosexual man, you're never really in the shoes of women being hit on by men.
Yeah. Well, and have you had an epiphany now that you need to stop rubbing women's hair? Is that what the bit is?
No epiphany. I think my reflection is that you kind of, when you go to a gay bar, I feel like as a straight guy, secretly you do want to get hit on at least once.
Well, it's like, yeah, why do you go in if you're not wanting to be in the game, you know?
Well, just because friends.
Oh, no, of course going in, but it's like you could never get, like, be like, oh, no, he shouldn't have rubbed my hair. It's like, yeah, whatever.
No, totally.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe at a normal bar, I think there'd be, if you're in a relationship, which I am, there'd be a bit of guilt associated with if a girl hits on you.
Oh, okay. But you're secretly being like, but you weren't loving it. You checked your phone.
No, I wasn't loving it, but I liked the... Yeah, but I liked the validation.
Did you flirt with it? Because you're a flirty guy.
I'm not a flirty guy.
You're a flirty guy.
You think I'm a flirty guy?
I think with everyone you're quite flirty.
You're flirty guy. You're a great listener
and you like laugh a lot and react.
I react to things.
And I think
that's not the same as flirting.
Well, I mean, you're not flirty in the way that...
Before I'm a, what was it, a snob.
No, there is that kind of cultural elitism that you have about yourself.
But then also...
No, but also you flirting. Will engage with someone. You don't flirt in the way that people like... You know when someone touches your arm and...
That's what I think flirting is.
And it makes me feel like a 14-year-old boy
that's
again.
That's in my mind. Like, flirting is rubbing.
No, you can flirt without touching.
Or winking. That's flirting.
That's sleazy.
Totally, but that's like... In the category
winks? What, they'd be like, oh, it's a really hard place to get a drink. And then you'd be like, you know what else is hard? And then you wink.
Okay, wow. That's some James Bond level flirting.
Yeah, but that's sleazy. I've never been winked at.
What about winking like, I don't know. Yeah, you're at a table at a pub and someone goes, oh, do you want a drink? And then you're like, yeah, I'll have one. And then do a bit of a wink.
I mean, I don't know if it's
a bit
flirting, but I would want to shoot myself in the head.
Really?
If I did
you wouldn't
that.
I mean, I've never done it either. But
yeah, like, why would you do it? That's like,
I don't want to, but that's why I'm like, I'm not flirty because that's what flirting is. Flirting's overt.
No, flirting is like, I think, being in the moment, really giving more than you should.
Flirting is being in the moment.
Yeah.
I can't be present without flirting. Giving more than you should is interesting.
I think giving more than you should and really locking in on one person and being like, and like, yeah, kind of just giving yourself to them, I would say, is a lot more flirty than... And being playful...
This is a broad definition. Playful,
I don't think winking...
Playful teasing is another example of flirting.
Like negging.
Kind of, but I think negging came in, when that came in, like when we were at the end of high school or whatever, when the game was popular.
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of ruined a good thing, because that is part of... you know what I mean? Like... That was always part of flirting and still is. A bit of fun teasing. You
totally,
know what I mean?
But it went too far with men.
Well, then, yeah, people just kind of like applied it in a kind of clinical way where they were like,
playful.
Your eyebrows are strange.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am
yes.
flirting.
Okay.
Well, but inevitably a bit of teasing comes up.
The teasing big time. The teasing but locking on, I think. I just think there's so
locking on.
I mean, just like giving yourself to that person in the moment.
Giving yourself.
Don't you think that's flirting? Like, that's what
not
I consider flirting.
That's
being
an engaged
like,
conversation.
Yeah, and this is why I think you're a flirty person, is because you do engage a lot in conversation. And I think people might misconstrue that as you being very interested in them.
But being interested in someone is not to want to have sex with them.
Oh, yeah, but in the sense, I mean, in that sense, that they would think
yeah,
something romantic might be happening.
I think that's wrong.
What's wrong?
I think it's wrong that that's perceived as flirting. I think when
well, I mean, you've also got to put yourself in the mindset of like what the context, what situation. If you're just with friends and you just think it's like you're not going to do that.
Which but you often are.
If you're in a bar and it's like there's heaps of single people around and you're locked in with someone.
You meet someone new and then you're asking them lots of questions and you're engaging with them. I see what you mean. Okay, then that's a bit more flirty, totally, because it's like who's this person?
Who's this person and why are you giving them so much time?
Who cares?
And why are you just being very available to them.
Yes.
I would consider that big time flirting.
I suppose.
And
the trouble is that
and
it's
light
often...
level emotional kind of engagement as well. Even in that moment, and it can be very casual, but like getting to know deeper.
Yeah.
I think that can be considered as flirting.
So asking questions about someone's emotional state.
No, Tom.
No, in this context of when you met someone new.
Yes, I think that can, or in the situation
as opposed
where
to like,
people
what do you do
might
for a
be
job?
Interested.
Mm.
yes, I think it could be considered very flirty. But with that top layer of being very fun.
Sure.
Obviously, it's all got to be fun. It's drenched in fun.
It's drenched in fun.
I think we know what it's drenched in. I feel like, though, it's often
does
social anxiety.
Fun, does it?
For me.
Oh, it's social anxiety.
Well, I think, you know, if someone started talking to me, for example, I think there would be situations where someone started talking to me and I felt I didn't want to be rude. So okay. Then you talk to them back.
Of course, yes.
You're like, oh, yeah, what's your name? How are you? Blah, blah, blah. And then you're like in a conversation. Stuck, you could say, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? And then may as well make a good thing of, you know, actually find out what this person's about when you're chatting to them if you have to, because to leave is crazy. Don't you think to leave?
A conversation.
Like, yeah.
You thank can't you. Leave the conversation.
Exactly. Thank you. No, thank you.
Goodbye. I would say.
Like, what are you meant to?
The other thing about being flirty is to not, is to leave yourself open to possibilities in conversation, I think. So very quickly, I think you have to establish, where you are at. Like, mention your partner very early on in fleeting. Mention your living arrangement. All that kind of stuff.
That seems rude to me sometimes.
Not but you can just wedge it into any conversation. Yeah. So I was talking about this with my girlfriend the other
day. But if a girl comes over, and I feel like now this is making it sound like I'm flirting with the girls all the time, which I don't think I'm doing.
Well, you might be.
I'm not.
I think you're like, anyway, so keep going.
When am I doing that?
I don't know if you're doing that.
I haven't talked to a girl in a million years. It's COVID. But like,
no, I just mean in general, I think you've got the vibe of I think sometimes people would have thought
sexual man.
That no, because I don't think you're being sexual at all, but I think people might vibe it as Tom is interested.
I think that sometimes, because I get what you mean, mentioning a girlfriend can be a good way to obviously signify that you're not interested in someone sexually if you're talking to them.
And that can take the air out, and then you can have that great conversation.
Totally. I sometimes feel like when... Yeah, if I wasn't even feeling a vibe early, to mention a girlfriend, I think could be a bit of a aggressive move or something. If I went over to a girl, not went over to a girl, but just at a pub, a friend of a friend, I get chatting to her, and she mentioned her boyfriend in like the first few minutes or something, I would be like a bit like, okay, I'm not, you know, it's clear what they're doing. They're making it clear that they're not.
I don't
interested, and they're kind of implying that you're flirting with them.
Yeah, but even
which
if
I'm not.
If it's still like a very nice situation to be like, oh, cool. So they know that I know they're not available, and that's great because I wasn't available anyway. So it's like now we can just have a normal conversation.
But it's a bit of it can be a bit of like an insult or something. It's like, I think you're coming on to me.
I mean,
but that's what it says a little bit.
You could be
it's
going,
like if you went up to a girl and they were like, I've got a boyfriend.
Yeah, but obviously who's
that
saying
would,
it?
No,
like
no, I know. But like you agree, that would be like
that would
implying
be,
that you're a sex pest.
Yes.
And you're coming onto them or something. But saying it 2 minutes in isn't so far off that.
I'm saying if you're getting the vibes. Oh, actually, I don't even know. I just disagree entirely. I think you can wedge it in to set the tone of what you want out of the conversation and what they want out of the conversation.
I
want to
leave.
If you want to leave,
I always want to leave. You know what I mean? I don't want anything.
So you're talking about you're just trapped in a conversation.
I think often I want to leave, but then if I have to stay, I want to find out about something interesting about them or like get to something meaningful.
Yes.
To like find something new that's interesting, I suppose, rather than just making chit chat. Yeah, I think that's usually my goal. But fundamentally, I would like to leave.
Well, I still think.
Don't you think?
Anyway, I still
isn't that
think
how you feel in most conversations?
That I want to leave.
Well, like ideally you'd be at home.
Of
or,
course. I don't want to be in any conversations ever.
Yeah. Like what's the goal?
There's very few conversations I ever walk away from going, maybe one a year where I'm like, that was great.
Yeah. What are the benefits really of a conversation? You could find out, and this is what something I've been doing actually recently, is just asking people, what shares should I buy?
Oh, so you get something out of it.
Well, no, just like, yeah. Well, yeah, that's a distinct thing that you could get out of it.
Yeah.
Is like a tip or something. So like advice or a stock tip or like some sort of thing that directly benefits you. Like a good story, I think, is often fun and something that you could use.
Totally. If someone's got a good story, that's why it's good to know, to hold stories for IRL conversation. Never tell them in chat. I always think it's like, you know, when someone goes through a breakup or something and you know they've gone through a breakup and then they're like, hey, we should catch up and go for a drink. You're like, oh, what you're doing is just asking me for some emotional labor.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that's not going to be a good time for me. Like, I know I'm just going to have to go there and listen to your breakup problems.
See, that's where I disagree. That I like that.
Well, I can because be, that, it's it can
like,
be fun.
Now I know what the convo is going to be. I know my role.
You
it's
can
calming.
Write questions in advance.
Well, yeah, you could not that you necessarily prepare, but you know kind of what's happening. It's not like a little dance of, oh, what are we going to talk about? It's like, okay, we've got a project here.
Right.
We can talk through it.
So I'll take very close friends. I think you'd so very close friends. I'm fine. I'll go for a drink, catch up. Mm. Doesn't matter. We can talk about anything because I'm close friends with them. If there's an activity, better. Always good if there's an activity. Doesn't matter what it is. When it's like someone next tier down.
So if you're not throwing darts, there's a crisis.
Dude, yeah.
If there's not an activity, someone's heart is broken. Someone has passed
and you're
away.
Just locked on and they're just like, why do you think they didn't want to have a... And you're like, wow, this has been 3 hours. And
you're on
look,
the eight
you
ball,
are
mate.
Right. I get it because we're all. It's like part of the interconnected giving because I will want conversations like that at some point in my life.
Of course.
But it is...
It's tit for tat.
But sometimes you just got to like...
It's also fun to be the one... I mean, sometimes it can, depending on your mood, it can be emotional labor, as you say. To kind of give that support to someone and hear, because fundamentally you give less of a shit about the situation as the person.
Of course.
And often they really want to go through all the little details and then, but isn't it a bit fun and juicy and like to hear the details and you're kind of learning about the world as well?
Yes. If it's someone that's not that good, I've had people don't know that well.
Mm.
They go through a breakup and then they're like, hey, do you want to go get a drink? And I'm like, I know what
that's okay.
And then it's like I have to learn too many. But if it's like a tight friend.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know all the names.
Tight friend, I'm like, let's go. I want to talk about
totally. I suppose, yeah, if it's not going to be that interesting, I think that's a, I suppose, so yeah, if we go back to the benefits of conversing with anybody, practical tips or advice for your life that you can implement and will make your life materially better is one thing. Second thing is like fun stories.
Yeah.
That like titillate you in the moment, but then also, you know, God forbid you could be used later, you know? Third, some sort of a sense of an emotional connection with the person.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great one.
And then fourth, and this is often what I revert to, I think, because the third one is difficult to get to, particularly in a casual setting. The fourth one is like just a sense of the world, like you're learning about the world. If you meet a proctologist, I've never met one of them before. Tell me about what it's like day to day. Like, you know, you can learn about the world through these conversations.
Totally.
Which is often what I'm trying to get to, I think.
And I do like that and it is good. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it is just, it can be quite full on. I don't get enough of what I want out of it. Mm. I wish I had more time to get, I really like voice memos on phones.
So
and I do it to
bump.
You sometimes.
It's like, could you please back
pretty
away?
Much, yeah.
I'll give you my number.
Listen to it.
You've got 40 seconds maximum.
And then I can take stock.
Mm.
What are we talking about? Interesting. I go back and reply.
Yes.
Sometimes a conversation like this, I mean, this is fine. Whatever.
Sure.
We chat, it doesn't matter. But like,
yeah.
Other times it's like very good to just have a moment, think about it, then go back.
That's why I like texting.
Mm.
It'd be quite funny on there. Because I've got like 5 seconds to think about what to say.
So but like, I love...
In a conversation, you've only got really 1 second.
Dude, yeah.
So you'll often be like...
Less than one
and
second.
Then, yeah.
You just got to do... It's like word association sometimes.
It's like when people talk about improv, we're all improvisers.
Dude, we're
really.
All conversations.
I'm improvising every day. I went to the doctor. I talked to the receptionist. I had no fucking clue going
just
in.
Off the cuff, dude.
I mean, I started off with some easy stuff like, what's your name? Like, I've done that one before, but like... That's
and you're
like,
where's the toilet? Like, quite complex stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, it was tough.
Yes, I think more time would be good in conversation. I just haven't, I think once a year I might have a conversation where I'm like, wow, I feel lighter. Not lighter, but I feel like I feel much better for the experience.
Yes, once a year.
Maybe I don't have enough of those conversations.
Totally.
And you can't like force that.
No, but I suppose my going back to the flirting thing.
We will
I
get back to the hair
one,
touch.
One other point of... talking to someone is, I suppose, to develop a sexual relationship with them.
Yes.
So one was emotional connection.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a second one would be, and I suppose I resent a little bit that in our society, if I'm happen to be having often an obligatory, in my view, conversation with a woman, that it's presumed that it's flirting. That's annoying.
I've
got to clarify that I'm not flirting.
No, but it is just part of the game that you're in, you know? It's like you want to play your hand and go out and about. It's like people are going to be interested in people. People will want to, and whatever. That's all part of it. That's a fun part to navigate.
But I don't want to be accused of me being thinking someone else is interested, first of all, when they weren't, because that's like cocky. I feel like I've got a girlfriend. They're like, it's basically saying, I think you're in love with me. That feels like a bit cocky to say.
Well, then never say it, and then you might lead people on occasionally.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or maybe you won't. I don't know what's better.
Rarely that happens.
Yeah, but it's
much of a big deal?
I mean, I just think of it probably, if you want to get ahead of any situation, nip it in the butt. And then you won't ever have to deal with something down the line when someone's like, do you want to go for a drink? And you've got to be like, oh, shit, sorry if I gave you the wrong idea.
Yeah, that's never happened to me, though.
I actually am married.
Totally. Can I say, what about this for a strategy, though? Instead of saying, I have a girlfriend, I think actually I do this sometimes, subconsciously. You say stuff which is a bit gross.
Or like all that micropenis stand-up you have?
Well, kind of.
You have 10 minutes of micropenis.
Well, stand-up. I feel like that, I mean, that's the move of a guy with a girlfriend. But I do feel like when you're flirting with someone, if you're kind of trying to impress them, I suppose.
Yeah.
So if you say a bit of self-deprecating stuff, that's all a bit of fun.
Yeah.
But if you go too self-deprecating or like coarse, or just like unattractive in what you're saying, that signifies to the other person that you're not like trying to woo them. You know what I mean? So that's another way to like more subtly.
So you would just be like, God, my diarrhea this morning was worse than usual. Normally I have it 5 to 6 times a week, but today was in particular, I still could have it right now.
The trouble with that is now you're saying that, I feel like you're flirting with me. Like that's flirty to me, you know?
Diarrhea chat's flirty.
Oh, it could be because it's kind of like.
Oh, God. So you're going to wink at someone and be like, by the way, I'm shitting myself right now. And you're like, we need to get a hotel. Right
a little bit. I feel like that's like almost subverting what flirting is. You know what I mean? You're being a bit naughty.
See, why do you think that? Who's trying to subvert flirting?
People.
These are who you're going. I mean, who are you going? I know your girlfriend. I don't think she's ever trying to subvert flirting.
Well, I think it is a bit. If you were on a date, for example, and you did talk about, you'd have to. It wouldn't be the first thing you said. It'd have to be going well. But then if you did that, if you did a bit of diarrhea chat, if you went too far, it would be gross. But I feel like, yeah, I do think that is a thing I'd do. Is yeah, tell a story that's a bit like gross. Wouldn't be part of someone's repertoire of what they'd say on a date, which signifies that, yeah.
Well, it is a move. I watched the Australian season of Love Island this year, and there was this couple on there, and they're all like, you know, the normal people that would book for that show, Love Island. And there were these two, and they were like, well, they were a couple and they loved each other. They were really close, and they were like, we're a bit weird. Like, we both love Star Wars and Harry Potter, and they're like, you probably think that's a bit weird. And they're like, I don't think that's weird. I love Harry Potter and Star Wars.
Oh my
and
God.
They thought they were this like nerdy couple. And they felt like they were subverting the norms of like dating and what people talk about early in a relationship. And they were being open, admitting they like this nerdy thing. But the reality is they're talking about the two biggest movie franchises, and one's the biggest book franchise of all time.
Totally.
It couldn't be more mainstream, the things they're talking about. But they would
feel like a good
cluing into that subverting
80%
of
the English-speaking world would have seen both of those things at some point.
And they're like, we're so weird.
But that's the point about subversion, is that you're only subverting what the norm is for you in your subculture. Hot person subculture, the biggest subversion of all is to say Avada Kedavra. You know?
And then shit on the...
That's my diarrhea. My diarrhea is the Harry Potter in the buff, hot person world.
So the guy touches your hair.
Yes. Well, I suppose that was just... Have you been flirted with at gay bars or how does it make you feel?
It's just part of the game.
It's part of the game.
It's all in the game, Omar from The Wire would say, you know?
You don't feel a different... Because I think someone was making a comment that like women are like often physically smaller than men.
Yeah.
And that dynamic plays a part in the heterosexual dating or like flirting dance, I suppose. And I suppose being the woman in that, having someone flirt with you that could kind of is more physically dominant than you is not something that we have had to deal with in a heterosexual context.
Totally. I am just like have the wrong opinion, not opinion, but take if I've been flirted with by men, I don't care as well. I actually think it's quite fun.
Well, you're and bigger so than most men as well.
I don't think size. I think it's quite...
But size is relevant.
And I feel like they would know... I feel like they're having fun with it knowing that I'm straight. And I'm like, of course, this is part of the fun of doing. Like, I would be more, if they didn't try to flirt with me, I'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you flirting with me?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, it is all part of the fun. I'm not disagreeing with any of that.
Yeah.
But I suppose I'm asking about more deeply whether the whether it feels different to you because of the size aspect of it. Because I mean, with a girl, if a girl comes over and flirts with you,
yeah,
if you're not interested, it's not going to...
I normally date very big women.
Like discus people? Like
WNBL players. We're talking God. Six. I mean...
The absolute dream.
Yeah, I know. You've spoken about your love for female basketballers. But, like, I've never thought about the science thing in any way and how that would affect my comfort and...
Because as a small man, when I'm walking around...
You're not a small man. What are you, 6'1"?
Yeah, but height isn't really, you know.
What are you talking about? Height and reach. That's two of the most important things. Reach. You've got a great reach.
I'm okay, reach. I think, though, I mean, yeah, I could physically dominate, like, most men, if you consider, like, all old and young and, you know what I mean? But if we're talking about people between the ages of 18 and, like, 40, I'd still, maybe it would be 50-50 or something.
Yeah.
But, like, a good proportion of when you're walking around at night, for example, like, it's... You know, it's a place, a bunch of bars, people are walking around. I'm mindful of the people that are bigger than me, which is often quite a few people, that they could, if they wanted to, grab me or, you know, like physically dominate me. There's like a bit of danger there, particularly if there's like a bunch of big men who are like mucking around and pushing each other and being kind of crazy, or particularly if there's a fight, you're like, oh, fuck, what? Yeah. Like, you're aware of that dynamic a little bit,
I think,
surely.
Yeah, but nowhere near as much as you. I think I'm very trusting of people, and I
think
it would be...
Yeah, you're just walking around with the confidence of, like, if it kicks off, I'll be okay.
Incredible to break the social norm and start fighting people.
You think it would be incredible to do that?
I mean, it's so rare that it happens.
Mm.
And, like, how often have you
You'd revel the chance.
No, I don't want to fight. I've never been in a fight in my life.
But you're so that comfortable with the idea of it that you're like, it'd be fun if it happened.
No, not fun in any way, but I'm like, I just don't think it's going to happen. It's like, what... situation is like someone just gonna like, I mean, maybe it does happen, people go crazy and just start fighting and stuff. I've seen it, some especially where I grew up, like people would fight all the time,
totally, particularly iced up people,
totally. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And car parks when pubs would close and stuff. But I don't think, I never walk into a room like I'm like a like in movies when you're like a special agent, you walk and you're like sizing everyone up just in the back of your head.
Yes.
In case someone makes a move and you pull out the knife and throw it at them.
I think I am kind of subconsciously pretty regularly. And I wonder, particularly when, people are drunk and it's like a night out.
Have you had anyone try to fight you?
Not once in my life. But I'm aware. This is why, you know. Is this just only what wusses do?
Maybe. Maybe you're that, you think that much... I think for starters, it's like you could, unless someone one-on-one wanted to fight, you run away.
Totally.
You can run. You're a good runner.
But you need to know when to run. That's the, you need to be aware to be able to run.
If you're going to get, if someone's just going to come and fight you, they're going to come and fight you. You can't live your life in fear of that.
No, I wouldn't describe it as fear necessarily.
Being in a restaurant and someone just glasses you.
Totally. But I think what I'm describing, which is not crazy, right?
I don't think it's crazy, no, but I personally don't do that.
Totally, but it's also not, when I say it's not crazy, it's not like overwhelming. It's not fear. It's just kind of like awareness. It's like, particularly when you see particularly large men, you're like, oh shit, that guy could fuck me up if he wanted. So you're just kind of aware of where they are.
Mm.
I feel like this, like women when they walk around, particularly at night.
Yeah, I've thought about this, yes.
They're thinking, I mean, that's Me Too movement, like that. This has been talked about a lot. They're thinking about that constantly, like way more than I am.
Must be all they're thinking about.
I mean, often when you're walking, particularly by yourself, like you'd be very aware. And that's my point is like when it comes into dating, that vague awareness that I have, like when a guy is kind of approaching you, I think it is the only time where men can have that feeling of like that awareness being combined with like, dating or flirting.
I mean, totally. And it is mind-blowing that women go on dates at all, really, when you consider what could happen. Like, it's just like, there's an amazing...
champions.
I saw it on...
A lot of them.
Legends.
Yeah, exactly.
We love what you're doing, ladies.
You know, they're the real heroes. That'd be a great... Whoever's like the top person is, hopefully it's a man, of like the organisation that gives out Australian of the Year.
Yeah.
It'd be funny next year just to be like, just women in
just
general.
Women. We just love what you're doing.
It's like when the cop out of like when Time Magazine's Person of the Year was like a mirror. So it was like, who was you?
Yeah.
It's like the Australian of the Year. It's just all these bloody women going out on dates and just, fucking us guys. Like, I don't know how you do it. Just like, going on dates. We wouldn't want nice to be doing it. Like, I wouldn't show up if
doing,
I was you.
Doing God's work.
You're 4 foot four. You're tiny. This guy's 6 foot one.
Women are tiny. It is too, they're too, I mean, not all women, of course, definitely not. Like some women are quite tall. And but the majority
some women are tall,
some men are short. Some
Sam
men,
Taunton. Some can't deny that. Some
I will argue with anyone about the height of some women.
I've seen them
being taller than that of men. But some men are short as well, right? Yep. But if you average,
that's the sequel. Sam Taunton's done it again. With some men are short.
But if you averaged out the heights,
yes,
the gap's too big.
Too big, you think?
I think it's too big in terms of height.
Yeah.
All the women I've dated are quite small. Mm. I don't know why that is.
Do you like that?
I think I like that, yeah. And they like being smaller than me.
Totally.
And I've discussed this. It's one of the first things I discuss about. I'm like, you like being small? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I like being big. I'm like, yeah, nice.
What, on dates?
Or like when you get further into the relationship.
Yeah, gotcha.
You discuss your sizes, you know.
Well, but I think women do like looking up at a man.
Well, that's that mainly when you hug and then I can look down and they can look up.
This is something I was saying recently, though, because I get – because a lot of men, kind of incel-y vibe men, whinge about the focus on men's height on dating apps or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think some of the language some women use is a bit flippant, but I do think it makes sense. It's just like any type of sexual attractiveness to want to look up at a man rather than look down at them when they're walking. That seems like an important one for me. But I don't get like particularly when some women will say, I want a guy who's over 6 foot.
Yeah.
And if they're like 5'2", it's like from where you are, you can't tell what 6 foot is.
You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know five, between 5'10". Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Exactly. Just from the angles, like they wouldn't be able to deduce the difference between a couple of inches.
But 6 foot, they would like to brag, I think.
Yeah, so it's just like a...
Yeah, Gavin's 6 foot.
Well, then just tell him he is.
Yeah, but they would know when they see
him. Yeah, because they have boyfriends that are up here and they can see the angles. Exactly. They've got, but they wouldn't tell
him. They would know. If you're 5'2", you would know someone's 6'5". You'd be like, you're fucking so far away from
me. And I suppose the bigger they are, generally speaking, without knowing the specifics, the more kind of dominant they feel, and that's a fun dynamic.
But what about this? And, I mean, this has been a very heteronormative podcast, Tom.
Well, we're two hetero guys.
That is true. But... maybe the angles are better for sex with like, so maybe 5'2 and 6 foot generally, because everyone's bodies are different. But
you think that's the ideal?
They match up better, maybe.
6'5 and 5'2?
No. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Because it's like, look where your torso is. And then,
so okay, I'm looking.
Say a lady is on your penis.
Oh, right? My God. This is awesome. This is the best hypothetical I've ever done in my life. This is fantastic.
But it's like...
hang on, you can't just move. I'm still reveling on the bit that I'm looking at my torso and there's a penis.
They're at like kissing level. Generally, it's like...
what do you mean?
It's like, I mean, at least in my experience, I've had sex with women shorter than me.
Yes.
And that they will be in like kissing range. They won't have to lean forward too much to kiss. Like there's never been like they go to kiss me and they hit my chest.
But what do you... oh, really? Because, yeah, why are you so much taller than them? Is it all in the legs then?
I think the legs is the big part.
Because if you're torso to torso.
Torso to torso.
Yeah. And your genitals are lining up.
No, but they're still in front of my torso a bit.
Oh, because and of just how the genitals work.
If I go in a missionary position, behind them,
are you thinking if you sit up, are you saying? If they're on top of you and you sit up.
I mean, yes, as well. That's when you really lock in. But then even if you're laying, I just laid back now.
But you can't kiss if you lay back.
Yes, I can. They will be on top of me.
Oh, and then they lean down.
Then they lean down, yeah.
So you're saying
and I'm just, that this
if
is a
you
hypothetical.
Slept with someone who was exactly your height, for example, and you were in that same position, you'd be kissing their chin. They'd be too tall.
Yeah.
Right. And you think there's a perfect one.
I'm just saying there might be for everyone.
Yeah, totally.
And this is maybe, and I know...
because I was thinking, yeah, walking along, height difference. But you're right. In the sex position, height difference.
Maybe it's right. And this may be, maybe someone listening to this disagrees it strongly and maybe they like dating shorter people.
Yes.
And it's the other way around. But maybe that works for them in their... I don't know.
Oh, of course. Not everyone would prefer taller men than them even. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's a preference that you hear about.
I've never dated anyone taller than me. Maybe I would love to be hugged and be able to look up.
I mean, I'd like it.
you would like it.
I think it'd be a bit of fun. I think over time, it could be a bit emasculating. And I feel like that's the issue that some men would have with it, is that you feel smaller. Like you don't get to be the big boy. You want to be the big boy. That's why you like being big. You're the big boy.
I think that's why, yeah. But I wouldn't admit that. I would like...
Well, I think you just did.
I might say to my girlfriend...
That I like to be the big boy.
No, I would say I like being bigger than you.
Yes. Because of you want to feel masculine.
Well, I think I like... I've got longer arms. I quite like... I've just got... Like it's nice to hug.
I've got strength. I'm a big boy.
I don't have that much strength. Maybe I do. Maybe you've caught me out.
Yeah, compared to the girlfriend you do.
Mm.
And I suppose that's what you want. I think,
but
yeah.
But it's not... I'm not seeking it out. It's just happened that way.
Totally. Well, I mean, and then it goes back to, this is just what your body wants. This is like who you're attracted to. Some of these things you can't change.
Mm.
Some of them are like social and you've made decisions based on, oh, I want to go out with a blah because that'll look cool or something like that.
Yeah. It's all ingrained in your head.
But some of it's just, it's your body. You know, you can't change that.
I mean, it's been, yeah. I've never thought about size that much in dating.
Mm.
But you are right. I would like, if you are like, if there is a woman listening to this, I hope there's one.
I think there is just one.
Yeah. What's it like?
What are you doing next week? I'm not flirting. I swear to God.
I've got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
To the woman listening, I have a girlfriend. Okay. So you
back off.
You fucking back off.
You leave me alone.
I knew that you were in love with me. No, so that's why I needed to say that I have a girlfriend, because I can tell that if I didn't have a girlfriend, you'd be obsessed and you'd want to date me immediately.
You have not taken what I've said correctly and are using it for comedic purposes, which is fine.
Yes.
But you do get my point.
What is your point?
That you can just make yourself not available and still have a great conversation. Not available romantically.
Totally.
Take that off the table and still have a great time.
Absolutely. I agree with that, but I want to take it off the table in a less obvious way, and the way I do that is by not engaging in behavior that I would consider flirty. So like,
dude, there is one way.
Talking about sex, asking, like teasing, winking, certainly we covered
diarrhea.
Diarrhea, I would never talk about that. You know, there are these little indications that you like someone that you give someone, but I don't think just interest in someone and like asking them questions and like focusing on them is enough to be considered flirty. And if someone does think that's flirty, that's fucking their problem, I reckon.
There's one other way around this.
Mm.
You wear a wedding ring.
Mm. Okay.
Mm.
So I think the girlfriend might have an issue with this. And I've got to explain. No, it's because...
It's a wild pitch.
So I want to wear a wedding ring before we even get engaged or anything, because I'm concerned. No, I haven't been flirting. I haven't been out there flirting.
I don't have a second family and I've just gotten married and live. I'm going to Perth for work for different reasons.
And I'm not flirting with people out there. I'm concerned in the future, girls are going to be so obsessed. And I don't want to have to mention you. Not because... Because
I respect you.
Because I respect you, and because I don't want to feel like too cocky by implying that they're obsessed with me. But I know they're going to be obsessed with me. So that's why I'm going to wear...
I'm going to wear the wedding ring. I'm going to wink as well. I'm going to point at it and I'm going to wink.
Because then I can do what I want.
I can wink and it's more of a bragging type.
If I have the ring, I can do anything at all.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shane, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.